Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive. We never stop talking bye week here this week. And I'm on a crab cake roll right now. The Maryland Lottery, in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation and our friends at Jiffy Lube Multicare, sending me out on the road. I was remiss. The Orioles in October did not do a lot of crab cake tours, but I got three this week, actually four this week, if you count next Tuesday. And I think this guy is going to be joining me at State Fair. We're going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. I'm going to have my co-host Mike Rosigliano joining us there, as well as Ron Cassie from Baltimore Magazine. On Thursday, we move to Gertrude's at the BMA with Dan Roderick's Councilwoman Odette Ramos, one of my favorite people, joining us on Thursday over at Gertrude's for a legendary crab cake. Then on Friday, we move to Hollywood Casino up in Perryville. I'm going to be joined by former Maryland Stadium Authority Chairman Tom Kelso, and we're going to do Stadium for Dummies. We're going to start at the beginning. I want everybody to understand this. I'm going to try not to be interruptive. He has a whole outline that I want to get out as a little bit of a term paper, and that's going to be on Friday. And then on Tuesday, we're at State Fair for breakfast, and I think Dennis Kalatsos is going to join. I don't think he's going to join me on the typical Monday. Now, you're going to hear him Thursday this week with Luke and I, and again on Sunday morning before the non-games. But hey, Joe Flacco's playing this week against the Rams, and I gotta do some scouting against the Rams. My picks have stunk the last couple of weeks. The Ravens are really good and balanced and are winning games that they used to lose to some degree. And they get this time off. I can't remember a time, Dennis, going into a December where they have most of their health, Andrews aside, Humphrey aside, but just where the optimism could be for them to really be the best team in the AFC.
Absolutely. And that's true. I think that the most telling thing for me was when I woke up Sunday morning was that there were four teams that had a legitimate shot at finishing out the day as a number one seed in the AFC. Of course, the Ravens had the last shot with the benefit of the Sunday night game. And that's what they did. They came away with a victory. They're 9-3. Wasn't the prettiest victory. Lots of opportunity for improvement everywhere. But today they sit on the top of the AFC and Kings of the North.
Well, I mean, I know you listen on Monday mornings as you're going into Coons, Florida Security Boulevard, to Luke and I. And, you know, we usually do one rambling piece on offense, one rambling piece on defense, one rambling piece on where are we, you know, our Mork and Mindy. Where are we? You know, where are we going? What have we learned? I guess at the bye at 9-3 and seeing where Cincinnati is, where Pittsburgh is, where Cleveland is, and then seeing where Buffalo is and where the Chargers, these teams that were supposed to be good, along with the Bengals losing their quarterback, what Miami represents, Houston and Jacksonville, what they represent, and then Kansas City. And I'm wearing my red Coons for today, not for Kansas City. But certainly that will. But all of that being said, if they can navigate these next few weeks, and I don't think they're going to run the table. I mean, they got tough games. Jacksonville on the road's tough. I think Christmas night out in Santa Clara is going to be difficult for them. I don't think Miami's a cake. I don't think LA's easy, the Rams coming in here. We'll see them play Flacco this week. But from where they are, from a prosperity standpoint, from having their quarterback not only be upright, but making good decisions with his body, not getting his head taken off, not having that instinctive thing. They've managed to pull out the stinger in the bee of, I'm going to run, I'm going to run, I'm going to run, I'm going to run. Lamar doesn't behave in that way, doesn't act in that way anymore. It feels like it's a last resort thing. And he did run a little bit in the fourth quarter. I always think when they got the lead, give the ball to somebody else. But there was that in pocket, Zay Flowers, is he going to take it? Am I going to take it? And same thing with Keaton Mitchell with the speed, where the speed will kick your ass 57 minutes into a game. You know, and you saw it on that play. It was a backbreaker play that could have been a fumble, game could have turned, anything could have happened on that, but they broke a team's back with speed late in the game, and that's just something even on the coldest day in Kansas City or the rainiest day in Baltimore, the snowiest day and wherever they would play, that the speed part and what they have from a weapon standpoint on offense, that's going to give them an opportunity to, and they don't play from behind. They haven't been behind all year. If they fall behind by two touchdowns in January, that's a different story, much like the Tennessee game and the Buffalo when they've been outed in January. But right now, there's so much to recommend them from a balance standpoint. There really is.
Absolutely, Nestor. I started my day by watching Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Again, division rivals, just to see what they have with Jake Browning And also, Kenny Pickett, Pittsburgh's offense, what would it look like without Matt Canada running the plays? It is a parity-driven league. On any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody else. Then I watched the red zone. Scott Hansen, he had a situation in the studio, but really paid attention to the Bills and the Eagles, that fantastic overtime game. And what stood out was Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen. When they run the ball, Nestor, they commit to running the ball, which is something that I don't like to see an indecisive Lamar Jackson. I don't want to see him playing not to get hurt. He's very talented, but when Hurts and Allen tuck the ball in, they're not quarterbacks, they're running backs at that point, and they're attacking. And I think if Lamar just can't be no man's land. He's got to either make up his mind, run the ball, run somebody over, run around somebody, or slide.
But he's being coached now to keep the play alive, look down the field, keep the play alive, look down the field. That Lamar, instead of you running between linebackers, find Zay Flowers, pop, find a pop and throw the ball. And Luke even said this to me earlier. He wants to throw the ball. He doesn't want to run the ball, where it felt like in the beginning it's what he knew and it's what his crutch was and what he was going to go back to. And in that Roman offense where the option truly was his at the mesh point, literally,
absolutely,
he gets
absolutely
to decide whether he runs it or not. Most of the time he wanted to run it. And I think somehow in these last 2 years, maybe his teammates have gotten to him, maybe some of the coaching, whether it, it's James Urban in his ears or whether it was Greg Roman in his ears or whether it's, now just hearing more voices, Petrino all the way through saying, you're quarterback, you're a passer, you're not a running back, don't be a running back, don't get yourself hurt, don't be vulnerable. And I don't know that that's bad if he really can play the position, and he really can deliver the ball. Sometimes it's a little errant. Sometimes it's a little errant for everybody. I like good decisions, though, and I like that he's not throwing the ball up for grabs. I do think it's weird, him and all of these young quarterbacks, when they're getting thrown around like a rag doll at the end by somebody, their instinct isn't to tuck the ball and go down. Their instinct is like to throw some weird pass that almost always is an intentional grounding, if not a fumble in some cases.
I think with the absence of Mark Andrews, it was to be expected that the offense would look somewhat uneven, and it was. I mean, he didn't have his security blanket. I'm sure that Andrews, more often than not, was his first look. So with Andrews not being there, we expected an uneven performance. But those calls by John Harbaugh, the non-challenges and the challenge and game management, that left a lot to be desired, and it shouldn't be this way with him being a longtime head coach of this franchise.
Yeah, he's taking on some heat here. Obviously, I think he's a man with zero integrity, and I'll sing that. He's earned that from me after 18 years and having a press conference with three reporters there in L.A. and me not being one of them. So he's a man without integrity. His brother is a cheater. But all that being said, they're 9-3. He gets a team ready to play. He,
100%.
All of the above, checks all those boxes. But man, in the games, over the course of the balance of his, he's not a great tactician, seeing the game well, hearing the game well. He's such a hyperly weird, paranoid, and
did you see the call sheet he had over his mouth a couple of times? I don't know if
he's talking to DaCosta on camera. I'm thinking, you're communicating with the general manager in the fourth quarter of a game on the field. It's just, Dennis, I don't know what it is, and they've taken away my license to ask questions. So I'm going to be asking questions about the $400 million they're trying to siphon off of Angelos's deal. I'll be answering that. Believe me, I'll be on that wall. Watch me. But in the meantime, all of that being said, I can't ask them about any of this. And if Luke asks them, they may throw Luke out at this point because it's who they are. I'm the case study in that after 39 years of doing this. I would just say all of it feels really weird for a 9-3 team. And it feels like McDonald's clearly calling the shots on the defense. On the offensive side, John's never been a guy calling plays or any of that stuff. So
he's a special teams coach. And, I know he hates that, but he's a special teams coach. He hates to be called that.
Oh,
but,
my God.
But he's a special teams coach. He's a CEO coach, head coach, which is fine. But at some point, he has
to be. But then during the game, what is your responsibility?
You got to be hyper engaged and hyper involved. You have to have the final say. And if you don't have people upstairs that are doing their job, who we're miscommunicating to you. You have to replace them at this level.
Well, I was going to say, well, you know, go get Matt Weiss or, you know, one of these guys likes to watch, you know, cheat and do stuff that you used to accuse Belichick of doing, monkeys and trees and whatnot. But having somebody there, I said, look, where's his father? Get somebody he trusts. Somebody that when the button hits and says, John, get your flag out, throw it right now, or John, don't throw the flag. But the thing that was crazy about the lateral was it was right in front of him. Every time they kept going to the shot on TV, I'm seeing Harbaugh literally standing
right
equidistant to the wide receiver, threw the ball backward, and the ball clearly went backward. The angle in real time was the wide receiver looked down the hash and made he purposely arced the ball backward. I mean, the running back had to stop and reach back to get
it. It was a great play, no question about it.
But it was so awkward because you never see that play.
No, it was a never great call,
see
great play.
An overhanded home run throwback in the middle of a play across the field, because you're doing all the things you tell a quarterback not to do. Throw the ball across the field and backward. So now all of a sudden, if the ball hits the ground, it's a fumble. Like, it's everything about it's high risk or high reward. But it happened right in front of Harbaugh, and he threw the flag. Like, that's crazy.
You know, late in the game, I noticed both teams had one timeout left. And I'm thinking, man, you know, it's a good thing that Brandon Staley is on the other side coaching against John Harbaugh, because if it was a better head coach, this game could have easily gone in the other direction very quickly. I mean, seriously.
The one play, the Flowers play, if they stop that play, things are different. Tucker misses the kick. I mean, there was a lot of things that happened at the end that my wife woke up. She fell asleep on the game. And she woke up and said, what happened? I said, yeah, they won 20-10. And it sounds like, well, no, man. That game was in the balance. That game was a game they squeaked out. And I do wonder, when they haven't been behind, at some point you'll fall behind. Right, you will. I don't know when that is.
The biggest question mark. Can they come back from 10 or 14 or 20, for that matter?
Don't go down, you'll never have to know.
Yeah,
well, and that's what a good job Harbaugh has done, and what a good job I think the operation has done, is they haven't been behind very much. I mean, they pissed away three games awfully. I mean, they've just choked them up. But they have not come out flat. They have not come out losing. They have not come out at halftime losing 14-3. And even when they kick the ball around, they punch the ball out.
That's where I caution, too. Everybody's in love with Mike McDonald, and I will caution people that anytime you move up, you get a promotion, you're moving away from your strength. Now, he's proven to be a very good coordinator, but it doesn't always translate. Not saying that it won't at some point, but like to your point, John's teams rarely get blown out, always come to play. The offense was a little flat, and Lamar Jackson said as much, but that was to be expected with the absence of Mark Andrews, not making excuses for them. But everybody in love with Mike McDonald, pump the brake for a minute, would you please?
Well, Dennis Colatzos is here. He will be there and here on Thursday from 3 until 5, taking you home on the Dennis Colatzos Show, as well as the Sunday Sports Voice. I heard from 8 until noon. Sometimes it lingers a little longer. It shall this week as well. So, are you done with Ravens? You want to move on to Flacco? And, I mean, it's such an interesting thing, right? Because Browns are playing the Rams this week. We have the week off. The games this week, and you and I, you know, we're going to go through this on your show on Thursday as well. I mean, it is a delicious, it's almost like the computer spits these things out and sort of, you know, how these games are going to go. But this Browns game's interesting. Then we get a 49ers-Eagles game at the same time. We get a Chiefs-Packers game on Sunday night. We got Bengals-Jaguars on Monday night. I mean, we got these teams we're seeing, teams that are going to be in the way. And we get a nice weekend on the couch as the balance team, relatively healthy. I don't want to say Andrews and Humphrey, but watching these other teams. But there's nothing more fascinating to me, being a Flacco lover, than whatever I don't think the Browns are winning the Super Bowl. I don't know what Joe is at this point in his life, but boy, has he inherited a situation, hasn't he?
Well, the Browns have a better chance than the Bengals. And this is why. I watched the Browns against the Broncos, and for all that Mike Tomlin said the prior week in regards to the Browns' defense makes everybody look bad. No, they didn't make the Broncos' offense and Russell Wilson look bad. They scored on them. They ran a ball on them. They smacked them around. Now, the Bengals, Jake Browning, he's not the guy. The Steelers handling him with ease. And the Steelers, you can't help but think that game 17, it's going to be a big, big game between the Ravens and the Steelers. But the Joe Flacco addition to the Browns may change the equation, depending on how much gas Joe Flacco has in his tank.
I don't even know what to compare it to because, like, the Jets were terrible, right? I mean, and the Broncos were awful when he got there. They had no running game. The defense had fallen apart at that point. Like, they had the wrong coach. I mean, like, everything was wrong there. Clearly, they fixed things. I mean, Sean Payton's a dude, right? I mean,
yep.
To go in there, he's a dude.
Turn him around. He's turned
he's
him
dude.
around.
I mean,
sure.
I don't know that I really knew that or believe that in all the years in New Orleans with Brees and whatnot. I mean, Belichick's trying to figure it out without Brady, right? And Harbaugh's now figured it out with a couple different quarterbacks here. And Tomlin's figured it out, you know, with Roethlisberger on one leg for 10 years. And now doesn't really have a good situation there, and they still win, and they don't get style points though, right? So
they rolled off over 400 yards on the Bengals, and the Bengals defense isn't bad. But again, when you don't have a quarterback, though, it's complimentary football that deflates your defense, et cetera. So Steelers are very
but
much
Joe
a dark
Flacco
horse.
Might be the second best quarterback in the division now.
He I think he may. Yeah, absolutely. I would take Joe Flacco on one leg than Kenny Pickett on two for sure. The guy's terrible.
Yeah, and the Dorian Thompson, Rob, you know, despite what happened
No,
to him in the game.
No,
And
no, we saw him. The kid can't win. I mean, he just can't. He doesn't have the arm. He doesn't have the experience. He's a running quarterback still. His go-to is just tuck it in and just take off with the ball. That will only get him so far. But Joe Flacco does have a chance. He does have receivers on that team. And Joku, he's got Amari Cooper. He does have a decent running game with Ford and Hunt. He does have a defense offensive line if his tackles can get healthy. So, look, Joe will always be Joe. He'll always be a Raven. And they do have a shot, but you have to think the division is going to come down to the Bengals and the Steelers in Game 17.
Quoting Ray Lewis, Joe's going to be Joe. I remember that, you know, every week.
It was
we
Joe.
Hey, I'll just say this with him. I have no idea, but game manager.
Yes. Well, if they don't turn the ball over, that's any team they have a chance to win. And if you rely on your defense, your running game, which, you know, going back to the Ravens, I always say what Suggs says, pack your defense and your running game when you travel. And the Ravens didn't run enough. Again, the offense again was out of sorts. But look, it's a lot of fun watching the league every Sunday, every Thursday, every Monday. It is a week to week league, Nestor, and the bye for the Ravens comes at a very good time. We're able to rest, watch some quality games, and enjoy the league for what it is. And the officiating is still a hot mess. It really is. I can't believe people actually bet on these games. It's
it's
incredible.
Terrible. I mean, and the calls that went against the Chargers the first couple minutes of the game, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, Geno Stone had 2 feet out of bounds when he hit the quarterback. Like, it was insane. Dennis Galatos is here. He'll be back on Thursday. So last thing for you, and we'll pick this up on your show because we're going to have a lot of oxygen. You're also going to be with us at State Fair next. Is it going to be shrimp and grits or chicken and waffles? What do you think for breakfast? You don't go there for breakfast much, do you?
I do. My go-to is the burrito,
the breakfast burrito.
With
right.
The potatoes and the sausage.
I've never
and
had
everything
that,
else.
So I'm going to have a bite of yours next week. So
it's really, really good.
Luke said this, and I thought this to be fascinating. 5 games left, the Ravens might have the toughest schedule in the whole banana left. That if they wind up as a one seed, they will have really earned it. You know what I mean? Like, if they're a one seed, it's because they beat San Francisco. They went to Jacksonville and won. They held their water against the Rams. They didn't lose to the Steelers. The Dolphins didn't come in here and put a track meet on them on a nice day, you know, New Year's Day, and the weather's nice. I don't know what the weather's going to be. Jacksonville, whatever, maybe some rain, whatever. San Francisco will be whatever that is. They have a couple of home games. They have a couple of potential weather issues here. But they have this bye week sitting at them. They have nobody really coming to catch them of any consequence in the division, but they have tough games. They have tough games, and they're going to have to earn this on the way out. And there's no more Gardner Minshews or Dorian Todd. You know, they're going to see real quarterbacks the rest of the way, and they're going to get tested. And that's probably where you want them to be if you think they're a Super Bowl team anyway.
Well, in sharp contrast to that, Nestor, is that the Steelers have the easiest remaining schedule. They have 0 games remaining against opponents with a winning record, and their toughest opponent is going to be the Ravens. That's the only team with the winning record they'll face in the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Well, I'll be watching the Browns and the Rams this weekend as well. I'll be watching a lot of football. Dennis will be watching football as well. Had a good time this weekend watching Alabama and Auburn and Ohio State and Michigan. And I did turkey and football all day Thursday. And then I did leftovers on Friday. I even watched the Jets play on Black Friday, for crying out loud. But I am not footballed out, and we shall not be crab caked out either. I'm going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. We'll be at Gertrude's on Thursday. We'll be at Hollywood Casino in Perryville on Friday, and then back at State Fair on Tuesday morning. It's going to be a crab cake week. Going to be some pumpkin pie this week. I'm going to figure out some eggnog at Wise Markets before it's all over with. All are brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm going to have some fresh peppermint and gingerbread scratch-offs to give away, as well as our friends at Window Nation. Dennis will be back Thursday at 3 o'clock. And, hey, how was Black Friday at Coons Baltimore 4? Was it as zany as I kind of thought it was going to be?
Man, it was phenomenal. We had games, prizes, giveaways, saved our customers thousands of dollars. It was very, very festive. Sold close to 100 vehicles over the weekend. I want to thank the community for coming out and supporting us. And look, made a lot of new friends, a lot of happy people for the holiday.
Now, you say you sold almost 100 vehicles. That sounds like a lot, but I don't know what like a lot is. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's a lot. In today's market, it's a lot. It's a really
good job.
Let's
see. If you did that in a weekend, that would be like if you sold 25 a day for 4 days, that would be 100, and that would be like one an hour. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Well,
I've been in your dealership. I mean, I always see these commercials where there's balloons and there's a million people in a dealership,
yep.
And I'm thinking, dealerships never look that way. They're somebody's car's conked out, or they make an appointment and they come in. I don't see. It doesn't look like a food court in a mall. So I'm thinking, you're selling a car an hour. That's a lot of cars, Dennis.
Yeah, we're closing Sunday's Nester, and because of the County Blue Law, so we actually sold those cars.
3 days.
We had 3 days. Yeah, it was 117 vehicles in 3 days.
More than a car an hour. That's what it is.
More than a car an hour. There's always something going on here at Coons Baltimore Ford, and it's good business to do business where business is good, just like WNST.
Well, I appreciate the local play. Hey, you know, it was Shop Local Saturday around here. You can't get any more local than WNST. We're doing local
every day.
Left.
That's every day. You know, we support local businesses, small businesses, family-owned businesses. That's what we do.
All right. Well, I'm supporting Bye Week. I am in full support of Bye Week here. And the Tommy Conwell get-together at the Wrecker on Saturday. That even allows me to have a couple extra beverages and take an Uber home if I want to from Towson. So you're going to hear Tommy Conwell this week. You're going to hear Tom Kelso this week. You're going to hear a great, great conversation with John Eisenberg that we had last week at Pappas. Also had Steve Pappas on from Pappas. I'll talk about Chip and Crab Cakes, our friends at Coco's this week. We were at Costas 2 weeks ago. We were at Fadley's. We're going back to Fadley's. So if you're ordering Crab Cakes, if you're out, take care of all of our sponsors. Try them all. They're all different. They're all delicious. Some places even have delicious cheeseburgers like our friends at Coco's. And I've ordered they have coconut shrimp there. It's spelled with a K, coconut shrimp, with this raspberry jalapeno sauce. Delicious. So I'm going to be eating my face off. I got leftovers around here. Dennis is going to be here on Thursday. Luke is on bye week this week. So nobody leave Luke alone this week. Let him, no baseball news. Leave Luke alone for the winter meetings. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.